to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. But we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the light. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He's the way and the truth, and in Him is the light. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light, He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the light. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, good morning, friends. Good to be with you here this morning. And some of you are looking at the comments here. I'll put them back on the screen. You can see them here. The welcomes and the D. What is the D all about anyway? And why did I put that there? And, you know, I there's two letters I'd like to put there, but you have to be the one to answer the question. And this is a evaluative question, and in fact, it's a little bit of a probing question. It's a little bit of a evaluative question. It's a little bit of an uncomfortable question, maybe even, if I can put it that way. D, disciple. That is for. D, disciple. You know, one of the conversations we could have is, are there Christians and are there disciples? Is there a difference? I mean, that is one of the conversations that people debate and discuss. Is there a difference between a disciple and a Christian? Can you be a Christian without being a disciple? Can you be a disciple without being a Christian? There's a lot of nuance in all of that want to consider. Now, I would say this, from my perspective, disciple making begins prior to someone being a Christian. And someone can be becoming a follower before they're actually a Christian, in my estimation. I think that was the case with people who were some of those early disciples of Jesus that we said, come and see. It was an invitation to come check him out. And when he said to them, come and see, you go back into Mark, and you see that in Mark, you go back and you see it in John, the come and see phrase. And I think that it's an invitation for people to begin to discover about Jesus. And in that sense, disciple making on our end toward a non-believer begins prior to them becoming a Christian. Somewhere along the line, we got this delineation. There's evangelism, then there's discipleship. They make the decision, and now you disciple them. Well, I actually personally think that disciple making begins before someone's a Christian. It begins with modeling to them the Christian life. I believe it begins with communicating to them the things about the Christian life, and not just the gospel of salvation, but Christian truth, Christian principles. You know, as we were discussing yesterday, Christian truth regarding things like abortion and life and the beauty of life and the wonder of life. That could begin before conversion. My friend Mark was sharing with me about the return of Christ before I was a Christian. And so I think disciple making begins before someone is a Christian. You're beginning to help them think through the ramifications of what it means to be a disciple or a follower of Christ. Seeker, someone seeking. And here's a question. Walter's put the word seeker here in the comments. I'll throw it up there on the screen. You can see has put the word seeker in his formula here. And the question, a question I have is, does seeker begin, is that only referring to a non-Christian, or could the word seeker be referring also to a Christian? Are we not called to keep on seeking after God after we give our lives to Christ? Yes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 these words. I'll put them up on the screen so you can see them. And so just this delineation here for us of just what is meant out of Matthew chapter 6. Here you go, Matthew chapter 6. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. To seek after the kingdom. You know, just what does that mean? Seek after God. Seek after God's righteousness. Seek after God's ways. Seek after God's leading. Seek after God's presence. Seek after God's values. Seek after, I think I already said ways, but you're looking for God, and we're to continue the pursuit of God even after we've become Christians. It'd be kind of like, you know, you get married and you stop pursuing your spouse. Well, we're married now, you know, and so there's no more dating. There's no more flirting with the person that's now your spouse. There's no more sweetness. It's we're married. Okay, we go to work. We live our lives, live in the same house. Maybe we have a conjugal experience every now and again. And no, it's not supposed to be that way. We get married with starry-eyed thoughts in our mind of what marriage will be like, and we can make it that way, but it requires work on our part to make it that way. Seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So to seek after. So Walter put the word seeker there, and that's triggered. Walter, that's the second time in 2 weeks you've put something up there that's triggered something that I take off on, and great word. But then disciple, the idea of being a follower. Jesus is called rabbi, teacher. Disciples are those who follow around after their teacher. Let's see if I get to today's subject that I put in the title or not. I'm going to try to get there. But to be a follower, I thought about putting another letter there. And here's the letter M. M. Not just D, but DM. But you have to be the one to answer the question, are you a DM? I would like to think that I'm a DM, and I could be a far better DM. I was thinking there's a group of men, not just men, but people, because there's women that go too, to something called LDN, Leaders Development Network. It's Christian, deeply Christian rooted training that takes place in Pittsfield, Maine, the third Monday of each month. I didn't go last night. I needed to stay home. I had not been home in days, and I'm gone again this week, so I needed to be home with my wife last night. And it is a group that, now I'm forgetting why I'm talking. Oh, they're growing. There's the depth of following. They come from all over the state once a month for about 50 to 60 people. You know, but the question is, are you disciple maker? There's a depth of taking place. I know what I was thinking. These few men who have formed this group that's been meeting now for a number of years, and there's a lot of younger men who attend, you know, I think you could answer the question, they're making disciples. And I was wrestling with that. Boy, they're doing such a great thing there. Well, I think I too could say I'm making disciples. But my question for you is, are you a D or are you a DM? Are you a disciple maker? Because we are called to make disciples, not just be disciples, but to make disciples. And that's the point of this whole broadcast. And even, you know, if Zara were listening, and she may be listening, I don't know. She may have become a little disheartened because I can't deliver all that they want and need. It's just an impossibility. But for her to be a disciple maker, gathering all these people, to be seeking after, to be, she's discipling people, helping them to follow. I got to let myself not get distracted looking at the comments, and I allow myself to get distracted. But I would absolutely say Zara is living as a disciple maker because she is influencing other people for the way that they follow after Christ. In fact, not just people, the whole village, a whole community being influenced, you know, absolutely a disciple maker. What about you? Are you a disciple maker? Now, we can look at all kinds of places. A disciple maker is one who is making a disciple of somebody else, helping them to follow after Jesus in prescribed manner, in a definitive manner, by modeling for them the types of things we've been discussing and talking about, and what we'll talk about today about prayer and praise is one of the foundations that we would model, but also that we would teach to those who will be followers after Christ. So you have to answer for yourself, are you a disciple or are you a disciple maker? I would say because you're listening, you're absolutely a disciple, no doubt about it. Now, a disciple maker doesn't have to be a person that has, you know, 50 or 60 young people like Bill Johnson and Garrett Susie and Jamie Simpson and Ryan Godling, who lead the LDN in Pittsfield, but you might have one or two. But hopefully all of us will be in a place where we can say, I am helping somebody else grow as a follower of Christ, and you can name who they are. And that you are absolutely helping them to live as a follower of Christ. So you answer the question, D or DM. So, and you don't have to put it in the comments now, but wrestle with that because the point of the broadcast isn't just the Bible teaching. And I love doing that, just for the record. But if I don't enable somebody else to disciple somebody else, then I am missing the mark. And so I will let you know, if you only listen but then don't take action, not only are you missing the mark, I'm missing the mark. You know, and that's something we need to evaluate. Now, one of the key elements that we want a young disciple to learn is that of prayer. I mean, the disciples observed Jesus going off and praying. I'll give you an example. Let me take you over to the book of Mark. Get you over there. Book of Mark, chapter 1. And what did the disciples early on, this is very early in the ministry of Jesus, down at verse 35. Now, the context of this is Jesus has helped, he has healed, he has nurtured, but particularly he has healed the night before. Let's back up. They left the synagogue. I'll go to verse 29. They left the synagogue. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak about who he was. Now, there's a lot with that, but just notice, verse 32, that evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. They were gathered. It says the whole town, all moral village, was gathered at the door, and Jesus was healing the various diseases. Now, let's go down to the next little bit here. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, now this time of year, you got to get up earlier and earlier and earlier if you're going to do this, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, maybe we need to leave the house so we don't look at the TV or don't get caught up doing the dishes or don't get caught up, prepping the food for the week or whatever. Maybe we need to leave the house, go off to solitary places where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." Now, to me, this is an evangelistic verse. And in some ways, also a church planting verse. Notice Jesus saying, "Let us go somewhere else so I can preach there also. That's why I've come." So he traveled throughout, and you should really put the Galilee, not just Galilee, but the Galilee. It's a region, not a town, it's a region. Preaching in their, it's like Waldo County, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. But notice what he's doing. He's praying. Here is the example of Jesus. And his disciples will observe him again and again and again in this practice. Later on in Mark chapter 9, let me stay in Mark, not Matthew, but in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus will have this to say. This is the story where, and I'll put it on the screen so you can see the header. Jesus heals a boy with the unclean spirit. And it says, when they came to the disciples, say a large crowd around them, the teachers of the law arguing with them. This is after the Mount of Transfiguration, I think, right? Is that what the context was? Yes, after the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw a large crowd around them, teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. The man, the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit that robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." Now, there's a lot more I can say about modern day analyses of what is often considered mental health. Oh, I guess I don't have the text on the screen for you. Sorry about that. There we go. And then it comes down to verse 20. They brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And I love Jesus. If you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running onto the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Now, there's so much we can dig into. I don't want us to miss the point where we're going here, though. It says in verse 26, the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And Jesus replied, "This kind can come about only by prayer." Now, let me bring up a couple other translations so we can take a note of something. Okay, this the New Living Translation keeps it the same. This kind can be cast out only by prayer. Let me put it into the King James Version. This again, I use the eSword Bible program on this computer, which I have loved for probably a quarter of a century now, and I would encourage you. Now, the King James puts in it down here at verse 29, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting," the importance of prayer and fasting. When you get into the notes, some will say, let's put the ESV up there. Some will have a footnote that says that fasting is added. In the most reliable scriptures, reliable manuscripts in the original languages, those that have been found, did not have fasting in them. Some did, some did not. The greater majority of them did not have fasting. And that's why so many exclude, as in the ESV here, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." What we're underscoring is prayer. Prayer as a key of the Christian life. That Jesus modeled prayer. Here the issue was that, and what happens is we get so busy living the Christian life and doing the Christian stuff, or busy about ministry. And this is one of the problems that we have oftentimes in American ministry, is we make it so structured and so bloated with so many layers of structures and all these extra things and programs and so on and so forth. Sometimes ministry keeps us from the very heart of ministry, and that is making disciples. And it happens. And ministry, we can get so busy with ministry, it keeps us from the power of ministry, and the power of ministry is prayer. And that's what's going on with the disciples. They were so busy doing all these things and seeing great successes. You read about it in the book of Luke chapter 10. You can go over there and read about all the successes they were having. And Jesus reminded them, wait a minute, hold on, time out. Don't lose sight of the fact the best thing is that your names are written in heaven, not that you have power over demons. Don't lose sight of that fact, folks. In fact, Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall from heaven." Now he's referring to his own eternal nature when Satan was cast out of heaven with his minions, with the legions that went with him, and Jesus saw that. Mark chapter 9 reminds us the power of ministry is in prayer. We need to make time for prayer. And prayer. I'm going to deal with this more thoroughly tomorrow, because I'm almost out of time today. But for us to begin thinking about the idea of prayer is so critical and so foundational. I mean, that's something that was drilled into me early on, prayer. I talked about it yesterday in the midst of the worship service, watching George and Barb and watching George and Harold and watching Chet and Nancy. My dear friend Chet just passed away. I am considering if if I can make it work, going to his funeral back in Pennsylvania, because they were so such a wonderful part of my the beginnings of my faith. And I'm missing too much of life sometimes because of all the busyness that's going on, and I want to take advantage or take the opportunity to go and more in a little bit with folks. We need to be able to do that, friends, and I just encourage you. Prayer, how we pray, what we pray. Do people see us praying? Now, I want to come back and deal with some of the comments just a little bit here before I get out of get through this morning, and tomorrow we'll look at a whole bunch of other text about prayer and what Jesus taught about prayer and what Paul said about prayer, and you know, for us to ask ourselves the question about prayer without losing us in so much detail, but to help us buttress our lives in prayer. There's a comment here, and dear friend, and I just love Steve Goodwin. I called myself a Christian for decades, but only now would I consider myself an increasingly faithful disciple. I mean, you can be an unfaithful disciple. Are you trying to follow Christ? Or a faithful disciple. And he said, but being a good disciple, I've automatically become a disciple maker. And yes, I would press into that a little bit. Just living as a faithful follower of Christ may or may not make us a disciple maker. The question then becomes an intentionality of helping others to grow. And Steve, you do that. I love your mind. I love your heart of service. And, you know, I see this in you. You know, I'm very excited about your life and your family and what God is doing. And the person that has been in the person or people that have been investing in your life so faithfully, you know, but I will bring it back down to, this is what happens in the comments so oftentimes. There's great, great questions here, and I'll put these back up. But the intentionality of, okay, what does a disciple look like? And this is one of the things we need to find. What is a description of a discipled person? What does one look like? How do you know when you've made one? It's like you're a builder. How do you know when you've built a house? Because there's a house there. You know what it looks like. It has a roof, it has walls, it has windows, it has doors, it has floors. It probably has a heating system. It probably has running water. It probably has electric. I say probably because sometimes people build off grid things that might not have all those things, right? But we define a house because it's got walls and a roof and a floor and doors and windows. And okay, how do we define a disciple? What does one look like? And that is another question, another topic. You know, what does a disciple need to know in their head? What do they need to have in their heart? What skills, head, heart, hands, what do we need to have in our lives in that way? Anyway, I have just gotten the cue. We are out of time, friends. And Walter just saying this, missing precious parts of life is something I struggle with. And friends, to take a hold of life and when you can. Excuse me. To try to go and make time. If in some situations you have a work that won't let you get away, but to get away. Lord, help us to embrace life as we're saying. And Lord, help us all to grow as disciples and as disciple makers. Lord, help us to help others follow you more intently. That's a disciple maker in its most infant form. So Lord, help us toward that end, whether it's our kids, our grandkids, our spouses, our neighbors, or others. Lord, help us to be faithful and living out your great commission, that we might bring you honor and glory. Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, everyone. See you tomorrow.